Craig taught last week. Does anybody get some candy last week? Now and later? The kingdom is... and later. I didn't get to sit at the teaching, but it was posted that Sunday, so I listened to it, and then I've been eating now and laters in the office because he bought like the Sam's Club 5-gallon tub of them. And so I don't know if you see my profile's getting a little larger, okay? So if any of you need to stop by the office this week to get some candy, please do so, so I don't have to eat it all, okay? So he taught about the kingdom is now and later, and we are going into a teaching called the Grand Invitation. It goes like this. In Matthew 5, 1 through 12, if you guys have your Bibles, you can swipe to whatever version you need, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. If you have a paper Bible, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. If you need a Bible, come talk to us. They're free to download through YouVersion. That's a great Bible app. I would suggest that one highly. So this is where we're at, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. He went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying... Now, at this point, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pretend that you are hearing Jesus speak these words, and you are in an audience listening to Jesus speak these words. And I want you to just listen, be engaged in the moment. Think about who you're sitting next to, sitting there watching Jesus. Think of the smells and being outdoors in a hot, probably, well, it says it's a mountain, so it might be a little cooler, right? So just think of all of those things and just engage with what Jesus is saying right here. Jesus said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Were there any of you, as you were listening to these words, as Jesus spoke, you found yourself getting out your phone and typing this list down? Are any of you list people? Task-driven people? Because lists are easy, right? I can check things off. Yep, blessed are the meek. Yep, I'm meek. Good. I fulfilled my meekness requirement today. Right? It's easy because we want to work, you know, things that we can work at, things that we can try harder at, things that we can attain. And so some of us were probably just scribbling down notes right away as Jesus was speaking. Hold on, Jesus, what was that third one? Has anybody seen The Life of Brian, Monty Python? There's a scene where Jesus is speaking the Beatitudes on the mountain, on the mountainside, and there's people in the far back that are having a hard time hearing him. And he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And one of the guys said, "Did you hear what he said? He said, blessed are the cheesemakers." And then they start having this huge discussion about, why are the cheesemakers blessed? It's really funny. So maybe some of you were too far back to hear Jesus as he was saying these words. But for the most part, we look at these and we kind of see these maybe... and mischaracterize them maybe as something that we have to be, something that we have to own, and something that we have to manufacture if we're not these things. Because Jesus said they're blessed, and who wouldn't want to be blessed, right? That could be the way we read this. That could be the way we see this. But the main subject of Jesus' teaching is the kingdom of God, which we heard last week is now, right now. You are in the midst of the kingdom. And it's also future promises, this promise of heaven, this promise of the world being restored to everything that God created it to be. When Jesus came to the scene, everyone wondered when God would restore the kingdom of Israel. Because we had all these promises, if you remember from the Old Testament, the kingdom of Israel was supposed to be established. Now, what a lot of people thought, because, you know, we are here in a tangible world, anything that we can see, taste, you know, touch, smell, right? They thought this kingdom was going to be this earthly thing. They thought their temple, their you know, everything was going to be restored here, and that an Israelite nation would just be reigning supreme. And then Jesus hits the scene, and the things he's saying is a little different than what they're used to. In fact, what they were used to, here were the Jewish five requirements for the kingdom of God. The dominant narrative of the Jewish religious leaders was that God had chosen the nation of Israel and was not going to invite the non-Jews to the kingdom. Only those who were Jewish could be allowed to interact with God. The second is that the recipients of the kingdom would be male only. That would be a really crappy heaven, right? As a male, I'm telling you, yes, that would suck, right? It would be male only. In Jesus' day, women were considered second class or even worse, mere property. You know, that still continues today, right? These mindsets. This isn't mind-blowing for you, some of you women here today, right? Okay? Or even worse, they were mere property. Some rabbis even said that women did not have the same souls as men. Interesting. The third one is the rightful recipients of the kingdom would be faithful keepers of the law, holy and ritually pure. The kingdom was not available to someone who did not eat kosher or observe the Sabbath, much less someone who was a known sinner, such as a prostitute and an adulterer and a tax collector. The kingdom could be, this is the fourth one, the kingdom could be entered by the physical whole, by the physically whole and healthy. Sickness was a sign of sin and God's curse. The kingdom would not be available to the diseased, the blind, or the lame. And this is the fifth one, the poor had been abandoned by God. Therefore, the kingdom was for those who were wealthy. Even though they were wealthy, even though the wealthy could be blessed by giving alms to the poor were not on the kingdom's guest list. Does that change the words that we just read from Jesus' mouth? If that's the dominant narrative, this male-only kingdom, this only healthy people kingdom, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? And then to hear, what did Jesus say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, pure in heart, the peacemakers. He starts challenging all of that. He starts speaking out to the misfits. He starts saying, misfits, welcome. It's an interesting thing. Jesus was roaming Galilee telling everybody that God loves them and that God wants to commune with them and bless them no matter who they are or what they have done, regardless of gender or ethnicity. He was not just saying nice things. He was actually healing people too. Okay? Blessed are, that phrase, each beatitude begins with. In some translations it says happy are. Everybody happy, right? No? Blessed or happy are. Neither one of these actually do justice. In the Greek, that's actually makarios, and it's a word that means something like this, truly well off. Or those for whom everything is good. In fact, the makarios sayings, there were actually within the Jewish culture, within the Jewish people, within the Jewish leaders, and they had sayings that said this, blessed is the man who lives with a sensible wife. Amen. I spent 18 years living with a sensible wife. I agree with that one, right? Blessed is the man who does not sin with the tongue. Blessed is the man who has not served as an inferior. I find that one interesting. And blessed is the man who finds a friend. All of those conditions are favorable, and it probably isn't as shocking to hear those things. Yeah, we would just all agree. So Jesus takes that Makarios saying, and he interjects what the kingdom actually is versus what they thought it was going to be. And I'm guessing people were a little flabbergasted and shocked. The wealthy people were like, I'm not hanging out with the poor. I'm not hanging out with the meek, the mild. These aren't good traits necessarily. I don't want to hang out there. I don't want to hang out with the sick, right? Let's unpack these further. James Bryan Smith in this book does an incredible job. So I'm just going to read them to you. It says this, poor in spirit, we'll start there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit have nothing going for them. Is that any of us today? These folks who are in a bad state, and Jesus is announcing to them that even they are invited to the kingdom. Dallas Willard would translate poor in spirit, spiritual zeros. So the opening beatitude might read something like this. Blessed are you who are feeling marginalized from God, who have nothing going for you spiritually, for you too are invited into the kingdom. The poor in spirit were in the crowd. Jesus was looking at them. They are the type of people the world overlooks. Jesus starts with them and says, you are very well off. You are welcome in the kingdom of God. Those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those who mourn may refer to people who have undergone loss and are feeling overwhelming grief. I was just at a memorial service last night with my wife for our friend's mother who just passed away. And it was an awesome memorial service. It was literally you showed up to a restaurant and we just hung out and ate. There was no pastor yammering on, right? You all have been there. Took you a little while to catch up. You're like, oh yeah, that's right now, right? Okay. But there was a process of mourning. It could mean that. It actually refers to a person whose situation is wretched. Any of us have that going on right now? Perhaps some of us who have lost a husband or a wife to cancer, is angry, confused, and drowning in depression. Jesus is taking that very negative state and proclaiming that it can be turned into something good. People who grieve in the kingdom grieve altogether differently than those not in the kingdom. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Those who are meek, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, because meekness or gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, as we read in Galatians 22, right? We think of it as virtue, and of course it can be, but there is a dimension of meekness that is not necessarily a virtue. Scholars believe Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and the word he likely used for meek is praus, which refers to those who cannot retaliate when harmed. The kid who is not able to stand up to a bully is praus. He's not merely humble or gentle, but has no capacity to resist. This is not a good thing to be in the eyes of the world. That's a weakness, right? We would see that as a weakness if we didn't stand up for ourselves, if we just got bullied around all the time. Certainly a person in this condition is not blessed, but Jesus actually says this kind of person is blessed because a praus will inherit the earth. Those who are hunger and for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness certainly desire a good thing, righteousness. But these people do not merely desire righteousness. They hunger and thirst for it. Anybody ever been hungry? I'm not talking about you have candy in the office that you shouldn't be eating all day long. I'm talking about truly hungry, truly parched, truly thirsty. Hunger and thirst are conditions of great need. They are starving for something that they don't have. They yearn for things to be made right. Perhaps the wrong is in them or an injustice on them. This is an admirable but not an enviable condition, right? Those who are merciful, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Jesus is not describing people who are simply nice. Everybody thinks they're nice, right? No? Okay, we need some things to be working on. You think you're nice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. You and me, sister, we're in agreement, all right? It's not just people that are simply nice in this beatitude. He's describing people who give until it hurts. Anybody know people like that? People that you can call at the drop of a dime and they will just be there. As in every beatitude, the merciful are given a promise. Those who are merciful will receive mercy. But in a society bent on revenge, being merciful is not often seen or highly valued. We want that justice, right? Those who are pure in heart, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Most of us strive to be pure in heart. We live in a broken and depraved world, and we find a lot of darkness in our own hearts. And as the ruin falls, C.S. Lewis wrote, I have never had a selfless thought. Our motives are mixed and often selfish. We would like to speak without guile, to love with pure intentions and to serve with right motives, but it eludes us. We find that we are a mixture of good and evil. We long to do what is right, just as the person who hungers for righteousness. But in this case, our yearning is to be pure so that we can see God. This beatitude is actually built on Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in its holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. Psalm 24, 3 through 4. Jesus is addressing people whose longing is never fulfilled. They are never perfect enough. God seems to elude them. They grit their teeth and resolve to do better. How many of us is that today? Because they want to see God so badly, Jesus informs them, they will see God. Of course, he knows that this is not just a future promise. Again, kingdom now. When they look at Jesus, they see God. They have found what they have been seeking and are truly well off. Those who are peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peacemakers stand amid those who are fighting. They are caught in the middle. Anybody know a police officer? Man. Those are peacemakers if I've ever seen one. I did a ride-along with a police officer, and it was interesting to hear some of the stories of the things that they've had to endure and some of the things that make it hard for them to come and sit in settings just like this, because they are jaded against the human population, because they work in this stuff day in, day out, trying to keep the peace, trying to protect people from harming themselves, trying to protect people from harming others. And sadly, I've had more interaction with police as a pastor than I ever had in my entire life before taking on ministry. I've had them calling me to do wellness checks on people who have had suicidal thoughts and have threatened suicide. I have had them coming to my house looking for people that are missing that I may know where they're at because they go to Whitewater. Thank you. Okay, right? I've had more interactions it's amazing, but that's who he's talking about is these peacemakers, these people who stand in the middle. The officer is a peacemaker. He goes where we would not and does it because he believes in protecting the innocent. This is what Jesus is addressing in this beatitude. Using force to make an enemy bow is not peacemaking, okay? Peacemakers are willing to suffer and even die for the cause of peace. Peacemakers will be called the sons and daughters of God because they do what their heavenly Father does. Our God is a peacemaker, and human peacemakers resemble him. That's the biggest message we can share with our officers and law enforcement in this town. It's amazing how much law enforcement doesn't come on a Sunday morning to sit because they may have arrested some of you and they don't trust it. They don't trust that they're safe. And for us to carry this message is, we see God in you as a peacemaker. Man, would that turn their world upside down? Does that turn your world upside down, hearing that about yourself? Those who are persecuted, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The last to be blessed are the persecuted. We rightly esteem those who are willing to suffer for their faith. Jesus observes that those who pursue righteousness are going against the grain of society, and that will result in persecution. Following Jesus is dangerous, in case you didn't know. We kind of have this Americanized version of Christianity here that kind of tames it a little bit. But if you're doing it right, it's dangerous. If you're doing it right, you're going to be in contact with a lot of police officers. Not because you're breaking the law. Okay? Following Jesus is dangerous if we lead the kind of life he calls us to. When we choose to fight for justice and peace or not lie or judge others, we will face backlash. Do you know how hard it is for people to be around people that just talk straight? And their yes is yes and their no is no. I worked in an office physiatry clinic in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Physiatry is a big, nice word for chronic pain management. You broke your back 20 years ago, you didn't realize it, and you never got it fixed, and so now you deal with it with chemical dependency and pain meds, and then you saw a psychiatrist who gave you more meds to counteract the pain meds because they were giving you depression, and then you had to see the list went on, okay? But I worked in this office, and these ladies that worked there had a hard time letting their yes be yes and their no be no, and it wasn't because they were ladies, it was just because they didn't know how to do it. And so there were times where a doctor would come in and have a question about something that had went wrong. And, you know, these are people's lives on the line. These are people that are struggling. And he's just trying to get to the bottom of whatever went wrong. And there was something that I had done in that moment. And I had watched these ladies shirk responsibility. They would come in and the doctor would be angry. Why is this this way? And if they messed up, and if I knew that they had messed up, they'd say, I don't know, that's weird. Maybe some of you are like that. I don't know. Well, that's weird. I don't know how that shouldn't be. Wasn't me. And I remember the doctor coming in and saying, what is going on with this? And I said, yeah, that was me. You know I'm a terrible secretary, right? That was what my job was. I was a giant secretary. I had really long hair back then. It was awesome. I don't know how I got hired in that office, but I just let my yes be yes and my no be no, and I said, yeah, I'm sorry. And they actually were taken back because they were used to the fight and the disbelief and having to fight harder to get the truth. And then the whole office was watching this moment take place, and the ladies were like, well, they would have yelled at us if that was the case. And I had worked there long enough, and I said, that's not true. that's not true, but there is something different about that. There is something different about pursuing righteousness in all things. The promise in the last beatitude is the same as the first, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we align ourselves with Jesus and observe his way, we are in the kingdom. So that initial thought of that we had at the very beginning as we're listening to these words of Jesus, and, well, blessed are the poor. Well, I need to be poor, right? Blessed are the meek. Well, I need to be meek. Some of us possess some of these things already. Some of us are thinking, well, why am I not on that list? Blessed are the rich. Well, you know you're blessed, right? I hope you do. So some of these statements are just addressing this whole population that was being left out by the culture at that time. So where are we doing that today? When we think of the kingdom now, where are we doing that today and living that out today where we're just leaving an entire population out? In your world, personally. Anybody brave enough to shout it out? I heard some throat clearing and it was kind of like revving an engine, but nobody's like, anyone? The reason this is called the grand invitation is because this inclusive nature of what Jesus is doing is for everyone. Think of the person in your world right now that is the most grotesque to you. Now think of how truly blessed they are. Think of the family member in your world right now as the most grotesque to you. This is hard stuff, right? Now think of what God has said about them. Think of what Jesus just got done saying about them. Think of the most marginalized person you know right now in your world, and think of what Jesus has said about them just now. Now let's take this a step further from what Jesus has said about them, and let's talk about Kingdom Now, what you say about them. What I say about them. Because we have this responsibility to continue this message. We have this responsibility to continue to forward this message. We have this responsibility to see people as Jesus saw them and to speak into their condition and their situation. And let them know that through Jesus, through kingdom life, your life is blessed and will look radically different than it is now. Now, sadly, some of us who know Jesus, we live in this other world. We live in this other kingdom as we always did. And we just see our condition as just terrible and the worst. And I'm not saying life isn't hard. I'm not saying that life doesn't have messy things that suck our energy and our soul at times. But man, if you're in the kingdom, you are blessed. So how are we communicating that to each other? How are we communicating this message to the world around us, at our jobs, at our homes, to our wives, to our sons and daughters, to our parents, aunts and uncles, cousins, anybody in your world? How do we communicate that grand invitation? I'm telling you, when you start seeing people as God sees them, it's going to change your world. When you start praying for people as God prays for them, as God sees them, it's going to change your world. When you start seeing your condition as God has just spoken into you, it's going to change your world. Those who are in Christ become living beatitudes, walking, talking, blessing the world. Immediately after the beatitudes, Jesus says this, that Gus actually just talked about in his Bible study with his brother. I love how God just weaves this stuff together. It's amazing, right? Jesus says this, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." It's found in Matthew 13 through 16. Jesus not only invited those ragtag misfit people, us, you're welcome, into the kingdom, but calls them the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Those who live with Jesus in his kingdom are destined to be witnesses for another way of life, where the last are first and the greatest are least. Does that sound like a world you want to live in? I don't think you heard me. Does that sound like a world you want to live in? Does that sound like a world you want to bring with you wherever you go? It's possible. It's possible. You can do this, church. We can do this together. That's our God dream. That we see ourselves as God sees us. That we allow him to form us into the leaders that he's calling us to be. Into people that bring this message to people that don't believe they deserve kingdom life. That don't believe they deserve anything better than their condition now. That's the message we bring. That's the message that's going to change this community here at Whitewater. That's the message that's going to change every community outside of this. We want you in it with us. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for how you help us understand kingdom, how you help us understand the true heart of where you're at. God, how you help us see ourselves and others as you see us. God, may we see nothing when we look in the mirror other than those who are blessed. God, may we see nothing in the mirror when we look at ourselves and our condition. As nothing but blessed. God, may we own that we are truly well off in you, in your kingdom, in your way, in your timing, in your efforts. God, let us own that. Let us own that we have access to you. God, let us own that we have access to the grace that Jesus gave us through the cross and through his resurrection. Let us own that we have access to the Holy Spirit, God, who lives inside of us for those that have said yes to this kingdom way of life. God, let us say yes to that power. Let us own that, God, that the Holy Spirit brings to us. No, we can't do these things on our own strength. Let us know that those who are not on the guest list of the world are invited into the kingdom of God. God, give us grace and mercy as we walk out of here today. God, give us grace and mercy as we stumble through this and try to find you in it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. We're glad you're here with us. We're glad you're hanging with us. If you need prayer for anything in your world right now, and you need to pray with someone, and you just need to grab someone and just whatever it is, we got Cindy here. We got Matt here. They're willing to pray with you. There's also prayer groups that happen on a Tuesday night. Oh, hang on. There's something I want to say. Tuesday before the prayer group met, there was a note put under our door from I'm assuming someone in Whitewater, and it had to do with suicidal thoughts. Nothing has been acted on, but definitely thought about. If that's you in this room today, I want you to come talk to me. It doesn't have to be right now. It doesn't have to be today. But I want you to come talk, because you don't need to suffer through these things alone. You don't need to suffer through these things in the darkness. You don't need to suffer through these things at all. So we want to help you. I want to help you. And this community wants to help you. And know that we're praying for you. Know that we're taking your requests seriously. But come talk. Come be a part of this. All right? We love you like crazy. Have a great day.